You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, we've all heard of a dairy farm, but have you ever heard of a camel dairy farm? Well, to tell us a little bit more about this unique venture, I'm joined now by Dr. Max Bergman, who joins me actually all the way over from Australia. Hello.
Hey, how are you going, Paulina?
I'm really good. It's so nice to have you here because, you know what? We have so many questions. I feel like, let's start with the basic one. What made you turn around one day and go, I think I'm going to move to Australia and start a dairy farm with camels?
Oh, well, okay. So that almost two different questions. First of all, we came to Australia back in 2010, and I've been here all the way back in 2000 2001, and been to school here because we've got relatives in Melbourne and Sydney, and so I had the opportunity to go to school, and then since then I wanted to come back, and I've done that with my now wife in 2010, and then I started my PhD, so I just stayed because my background is agriculture. I sort of always wanted to go back into practical farming. My wife saw a documentary about the wild camel population, and I got my head around it. And then sort of in 2014-15, we sort of set up the company. And yeah, then I got my first three camels in 2016, actually. So 5-6 years ago now.
So it's been quite a few years, but Don't get me wrong, I don't really know much about animals in Australia, but I never associated camels much with Australia itself. So when you tell people you have a camel farm, are they just as surprised as us here in the UK?
Oh, absolutely. Like we do get bus tours coming and all that. And every time, like when I start the tour, you know, even locals, right? Like they're seniors that have lived their whole life in Australia. But basically one massive factor is Australia's got the largest and healthiest wild camel population in the world. So there are more camels here, and there's about 1.3 million of them roaming the outback. That wild population is bigger than anywhere where they natively come from, like from the Middle East, so originally. It is a big surprise because, as you mentioned, most people associate koalas and kangaroos when they think about Australia. But camels sort of play an integral part of the Australian history, because when the settlement happened, back in the 1840s, they brought the first camels from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they brought them into Australia to help open up the continent because they could carry big loads and could go a long time without water, building the train tracks and roads and carting iron ore in the mine sites. And then eventually they were replaced by trucks and trains, and people released them in the bush. And because they're the ultimate survivors, when it comes to living in a dry country like Australia, they just exploded in numbers and unstoppable now. So
that absolutely blows my mind. Now, another question I do have to ask is, I've never personally tried camel milk. Mm. So what, like, can you drink it? Can you have it with tea?
Oh, all of the above. I mean, you can really have it as a replacement instead of cow's milk or goat's milk or whatever you drink. The milk is a light milk, so it has a smaller molecular structure than cow's milk. It's slightly sweet, but has that salty hint of aftertaste, if that makes sense. So people often say it's like a skim cow's milk. So it hasn't got like a distinctive taste like goat's milk. So if you like normal cow's milk, you're probably going to love camel's milk. It's a very delicious milk, and it's pure white as well, and it froths really nicely. So you can have camel lattes, camel chinos, put it in your tea. Yeah, I much rather have a nice hot chocolate or cold chocolate, depending on the weather, at night than a glass of beer, to be honest. Very un-Australian, but I'm a milk boy.
I mean, depends if you have Milo with the milk, not hot chocolate.
Yeah, you can have Milo in it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So what do you, obviously you have Drome Dairy, so do you sell milk for drinking, or what sort of business is it exactly?
Yeah, so our company is called Dromedary, as in dromedary camel, like because we're milking it. It's a bit of play on word. So what we do out of our milk is skin and hair care mainly. So that's the main business. So we use the cream. We separate out the cream, and the reason why we do it, because of that molecular structure what I've mentioned, it actually penetrates deeper into your skin. So it's basically the ideal skincare ingredient, and it's extremely high in iron. It's 10 times higher than cow's milk, which is an important part for collagen production, which is the fiber that makes up your skin. And then it's also a rich in vitamin C, up to like 3 times higher than cow's milk. So, and vitamin C is an important antioxidant, sort of protecting your skin. And there's another thing, group of alpha hydroxy acids. So essentially, there's like a bunch of organic acids, and what they do, people that are familiar with skincare, they might have seen alpha hydroxy acids being synthetically added to skincare products because they have like an exfoliating effect. So you have to imagine your skin grows in different layers, and the uppermost layer always dies off, and then you have young skin growing from underneath. And these alpha hydroxy acids, they basically remove that dead skin layer and reveal the young skin underneath. So I always call it an instantaneous moisturizer. So that's really unique to Camomilk skincare that you don't get with other lotions. So it's an extremely good moisturizer. It's also antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. And I just had a student that I co-supervised here from Murdoch University, and she's done a comparison study on looking at cow's milk versus camel's milk, and we saw some significant differences in the cream of the milk that we use for the skincare being antibacterial. And why I'm saying this is important for people that have really sensitive skin, right? So, or if you have diseases like eczema or psoriasis, that can be really helpful. We're now actually in the process of getting our TGA approval, which is like the Therapeutic Goods Administration here regulating everything. And then we're hoping to have like an eczema specific eczema cream and a sunscreen coming very shortly as well. So that was a bit of a long answer. So
No, it's absolutely fascinating. I love my skincare. Now, there's obviously you have the farm. I imagine it's a lot of work, but you also have to, we haven't spoken about this yet. You are visually impaired, so you have to make adaptations to how you run the farm as well, don't you?
yeah, that's right. Like, I mean, I'm legally blind, so I've got 2-3% rest vision. I've got a seeing eye dog, but I've got peripheral vision, so I can still move around all right. And I actually drive tractors. In saying that, I actually hit a strainer post today, which was a bit annoying, but it's very rare. I mean, people say, "Ah, oh, that must happen all the time." No, it doesn't. Sometimes you sort of run into something. So the adaptations we make here is, you have to imagine I put white Corflu signs in the fences just to have visual markers, because fencing can be very invisible, as I experienced today. In particular here with the light, you know, we often work early days, early and late evenings on a dairy farm, so the sun is in your eyes, and that's actually what happened today. It was a really bright light, but the shadows are super dark, and that one corner was in the shadow, whereas so I sort of aimed for the wrong corner, if that makes sense. And so yeah, I mean, that's really, as I said, never happened before, to be honest. But that's one thing. And the other thing I do is just technology, so GPS. When we're doing stuff where you just simply have to go up and down on the paddock for cropping or something, we have GPS on the tractor. That's just auto steering, so you literally could put, well, I shouldn't say it, but you could put a monkey there to press a button, but it's not like that because you still have to operate the machine properly. But in the dairy, we actually have what we call an automated cup remover system. So you have to imagine when you're milking the cow, the computer measures the milk flow, and when there's no more milk coming, instead of me sort of having to see that, the computer will detect that and take off the cluster automatically. And then, yeah, of course, computers, screen readers, and all that. Yeah, but to be honest, I don't think about my sight impairment at all. I just deal with it. So I had my seeing eye doc instructor saying, "Max, you're someone that is doing something with a vision impairment rather than being vision impaired and is trying to do something. And that's a big statement, because that's the first time after so many years when you said that, that I realized, yeah, you're actually right. I just do things. I don't do them to show people that I can do them because I'm vision impaired. I don't care about that at all. I just want to do them. I'm passionate about farming, so I do it. And yeah, well, I'm vision impaired. Yeah, that's right. But I'm not sort of saying, here, see, I've got a vision impairment, see what I can do. So I don't look at it like that at all.
You just make the adaptations to, so they make you capable of doing what you love, basically.
That's right. And you get all the time, you get people saying farming is quite a visual thing. Early on, when I started doing my bachelor's and master's in agricultural science, I had one of the professors saying, you know, maybe go more towards agricultural, like economy or something like that. It's not, you know, that's something you can do. Don't stay in plant physiology. It's too much, you know, you need your eyesight, blah, blah. Well, now I've finished my doctorate. I've got a PhD in plant physiology, right? So, but I haven't done that to prove him wrong. I've just followed what I like, and I like the cropping, and I like that. I just went into it. I guess as a take-home message is, you can do whatever you like, really. I mean, there are limits, you know, like driving or flying a plane or something. But we live in a time and age where a lot of things are possible. And I always sort of joke to people and say, look, it's a really good time to be blind, because, I mean, there's so much assistive technology. You know, if you would have been blind back in the 1400s, gee, that would have been horrible. But now it's, you know, it's not too bad, actually.
So, Max, we're listening to this conversation and we would like to find out more information about Droma Dairy. Where should we go?
Well, you can go to thedromadairy.com, or if you're in Australia, I guess anywhere, you can just go to dromadairy.com.au. So we've got these different URLs. We're also on Facebook, Droma Dairy Australia. I think Instagram, we're called Droma Dairy Body and Skin.
That's brilliant. Dr. Max Bergman from Australia's Droma Dairy, thank you so much for speaking on RNAB Connect Radio, and I hope you have a lovely day.
Will do. Thanks, Paulina, for your time.
You're listening to RNAB Connect Radio.